Psalm 23, probably the best known passage in the whole of the Bible, and one of the most read and one of the most used. And I want to read it to you now as we begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because the Lord is my shepherd. There are many things that may guide us through life or attempt to guide us through life. There may be men whom we look to as very special men in this world, men who are upright and who give us a great example. But here David talks about someone to him who is more special than anybody else in the world. The Lord is my shepherd. Now the title Lord at the beginning of this psalm, if you look in your Bible, it has been written in capital letters. And it's not written in capital letters for emphasis, you know, to make the words stand out alone. Now it's written in capital letters because it translates God's name. It translates Jehovah. And that's quite special. The Lord Jehovah, or as Douglas Macmillan translates or puts it in his little book, The Lord My Shepherd, a book that I recommend to you, and that if you have the opportunity of reading it, you should read it. But he says, Jehovah Jesus, the covenant-keeping God who is my shepherd. It is a demonstration of God's grace that he allows us to call him our shepherd. It's a demonstration of grace because we are those who are rebels. We are those who chose to walk a path in life that was rebellious, to do our own thing and not his thing. And yet he allows us to come and call him our shepherd. And David comforts himself with the thought of who it is that is shepherd. And this is where we find the emphasis on the word. Whilst the word translates the name Yahweh, God's covenant name, but there is an emphasis in these first words of the psalm. It is the Lord who is my shepherd. Amongst all the men in history, men or women that may have stood up and been examples to me, it is the Lord who stands out above all and who guides me in the path of life. Luther is supposed to have said that the essence of blessing in the Christian faith is the ability to use personal pronouns. And nowhere do we see this better expressed than when Paul wrote in Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Man, there is a sermon or two there in those verses, but we will try and avoid that this morning. But just to say this, that I have been crucified with Christ, to remind ourselves of the union that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that union is so close, so close, that it is as if I had been crucified on that cross. And that is what Paul is saying here. I have been crucified with Christ on Calvary. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I live in the benefits of what he has done. It is very personal language that Paul uses to describe his relationship with the Lord Jesus. And David here uses that same very personal language to describe the relationship that exists between him and the shepherd and his redeemed sheep. Just as the shepherd knew all his sheep by name, so the great shepherd knows his sheep, each one individually. In John 10:14, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. There is an exclusive and personal relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And here in the psalm, we are invited to look at that relationship through the eyes of the sheep. I cannot help but feel that there is an adoring pride here in these words, as the sheep looks at his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It is Jehovah, the God who keeps his promise, who is David's shepherd. And it is upon the reliability of his shepherd that David finds the foundation of his confidence. And the sheep looks at his shepherd adoringly. David was no mean shepherd himself. He tells King Saul that while he was grazing his father's sheep, he rescued a lamb from the mouth of a lion and then killed the lion. And then again he talks about killing a bear to protect his father's flock. But as good a shepherd as David was, he bows his knee to the shepherd. He is willing to recognize himself as a defenseless, foolish sheep, just so long as he can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Just we realize then that David is talking here about no ordinary shepherd. But he's talking about the ultimate shepherd who, as the scripture tells us, is willing to give his life for the sheep, and in doing so gives the most abundant provision for his sheep. It is quite an experience to go to the sale yards and see sheep being sold, as we once did while we were in Timaru and we were looking for some sheep to put in the paddock next to our house. And as you watch, you see on occasions great excitement begin to develop amongst those who are there. They've been selling sheep and people are bidding on them, but all of a sudden everybody congregates around one particular pen, because in that particular pen there are some very special sheep. And there are several farmers who want them. And as the auctioneer brings the sheep up for sale, you see the bids going off one after the other and the price rising and rising and rising, until finally there's a farmer who is ready to pay top dollar for what he gets. And he pays a hefty price for those particular sheep. But there is no shepherd, there is no farmer who paid such a price for his sheep as this shepherd paid. This shepherd was ready to enter the enemy's own turf. And through pain and suffering, to overcome him for the sake of his sheep. Here is the shepherd who paid the ultimate price for his sheep. Here is the shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And David here recognizes that there is no better shepherd, a shepherd who has promised David a redeemer to deal with his sin and to give him an eternal future with himself. And David says, he's my shepherd. For David understood God's promise. David understood that there was a shepherd to come and a shepherd who would redeem him from his lostness, from his sin. We do well to remember with David what a great shepherd we have. We also do well to remember that we are purchased sheep. Paul tells us, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." We have been purchased to become members of a unique flock. No sheep will ever enter his flock without first recognizing their own unworthiness. You can imagine what would happen in the sale yard if, as the farmers who want to sell their sheep, they prepare their sheep and get them ready for sale. They don't want any roughies in there. They want them to present themselves as nice as they possibly can. But you can imagine what would happen if at the sale yards you looked at a pen of sheep and there were the roughest looking sheep you ever found. They were skinny, the wool was falling off them because they hadn't been shorn. They looked like they had every ailment that you could possibly think of. What farmer in his right mind would spend his money on sheep like that? And yet, that is what our shepherd did. He took the worthless and he gave his life for them. And for this reason, we should remember that we are bought sheep, sheep that were not worthy to be purchased, but he gave his life for us. And the amazing thing is that as unworthy as we are and as dead as we are, the Holy Spirit has come and given us life that we may see. He's opened our eyes and our ears that we may see and hear and understand, and that we may hear the voice of the shepherd. Knowing the deserts of their sin and the price the shepherd had to pay, it is his sheep's joy to follow him and to keep his commandments. Later, Paul says to the Corinthians a second time, "You were bought with a price." But this time he adds, "Do not become slaves of men." You know, we talk about a wedding and on everybody's mind at the moment with Simeon's and Rebecca's wedding. And one of the things they would have done was that they pledged themselves to each other, and that they pledged that they would never allow a third party to enter into their relationship and to spoil that union that they have together. We know that we have all done it when we took our marriage vows. And so it is appropriate for the Christian here not to allow the influence of worldly people to compromise their relationship with the shepherd. Not to allow those things that would clamour for our attention. Not to allow those things that would be presented to us as essential in life. You know, one of the things that amazed me when I came back to New Zealand from South Africa after having spent 17 years there was the difference in perception of people. Now, I had lived for 17 years, and for some of that 17 years, I had spent time working amongst people or helping others to work amongst people who lived in a rondavel. They had one room, and the room had a cow dung floor. And to keep themselves warm at night, they would light a fire in the middle of that rondavel, and they would gather round the fire. And also in that rondavel would be their chickens, would be their cattle if they had any, would be their goats, all there in that one room. And I came back to New Zealand, and here we are in lovely three-bedroomed homes and kitchens and, you know, all the mod cons that you could ask for, and it's a major catastrophe if the TV's not working. Or do you see how easy it is? Do you see how easy it is to let the world come into your thinking and to let it dominate your thinking and your perceptions of life? And so we do well to remember that we are bought sheep. We do well to remember and idolize our shepherd and to follow him and to covenant ourselves with him and not allow third parties to come into our thinking and to dominate our thinking and divert us away from following him. And so David says, in following him, there are great benefits. There are great benefits. I shall not want, he says. The good shepherd cares for the good of his sheep. In places where grazing is scarce, the good shepherd spends time to find places of good pasture to lead the sheep and to lead the sheep to them. W. N. Thomas, in a book called The Land of the Book, tells the story of watching a shepherds as they looked after their sheep. And he says, some of the sheep were wandering after the shepherd very lazily, and they would wander off and have a nibble here and wander off and have a nibble there. And eventually the shepherd would go on and the sheep would be far behind, and the shepherd would have to turn to them and call them quite loudly and abruptly to come back to him and follow him. But he said, while he was watching, there were other sheep. It was evident that there were favourite sheep. And they stuck close to the shepherd. And wherever the shepherd went, they went. Because they had learned and understood that wherever the shepherd was, there was the best food to be found. And they followed the shepherd closely wherever he went. Now, if we follow closely the Lord Jesus, he leaves us in no doubt as to where that good pasture is to be found. And he said in John 7:14, I have given them, speaking of his disciples, I have given them your word. As a good shepherd, he was pasturing his disciples on the word of God, and all through his ministry, this was the emphasis that he gave in his teaching. Even after his resurrection, he was still pasturing his sheep in the word. Do you remember the two on the road to Emmaus? As they walked with him and talked with him after the resurrection, and he begins to teach them. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. What rich pastures he leads his flock into, and what rich truth there is, what treasures there are to be found in the word of God for the soul of the believer if we walk closely after our shepherd and follow his guidance. The scriptures are sufficient to meet every need. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In other words, we do not need anything more than what God has provided for us in His Word. They are pastures that feed the sheep on wise guidance, as we saw last week. Wise guidance to live by, pastures that give us wisdom, and pastures that also give the sheep great confidence and pride in their shepherd. So our shepherd prays to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And if you're one of his sheep, if you can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, where is it that we should find you feasting? It's in his word. Because you know there you'll find the treasures of his truth. In dealing with these great needs of the sheep, Paul says at the end of his passage of encouragement in Romans chapter 8, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And where does he find that? He finds it in the Word and the treasures that he finds there. Happy is the sheep that stays close to his shepherd and feasts in the pasture that he provides. Now David, being content with his shepherd and the shepherd's provision, looks confidently at life and to the future. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or the world may tell you that you want. The world may tell you that you need this and you need that and you need the other thing. But David, because he's focused and because he's been feeding in the pastures that God has provided for him, can confidently say, whatever else happens in life, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I suppose that I should put brackets around that and say, not my wants. That's not what's in David's mind. He's not saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for what I want. No, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for what the shepherd deems good for the sheep. And he makes me lie down, David says, in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, you know what sheep do when they lie down. I often used to look at the 3 or 4 sheep we had in our paddock, and they'd be lying in the paddock, and there their mouths would be going munch, 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 munch. They chew the cud. And what they do is they take what they have already eaten, and they regurgitate it, and they chew it, and they chew it, and they chew it, until it's masticated to the point where they can squeeze every ounce of goodness out of the food that they've eaten. Oh, if we are good sheep, that's exactly what we will do. That we will take his word and the truth that is in it, and we will chew it over, and we'll chew it over, and we'll chew it over in our minds until we have wrung every treasure of truth that we can find in it. And we have warmed our hearts with it. We've challenged our lives with it. We've been rebuked by it. We've been encouraged by it. And thus we digest it. And at the end, we will say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Paul tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And how do we do that? We do it by allowing the Word to lay ourselves open to us, ourselves, to not to believe what our hearts tell us, but to believe what the Word tells us. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if we listen to ourselves, then that's where it'll lead us always down wrong paths. And if we're not going to be conformed to this world, then one of the things that we must do is pasture in the fields that the shepherd gives us. If we want to enjoy the green pastures of truth, then we need to steer clear of the weeds of sinful thinking and sinful choices and pray with David, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Oh, what precious thoughts these are for the sheep. But how easy it is for us to let presumption rule in our hearts, for us to take for granted that grace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says in Ephesians that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is such an abundance of blessings. In Colossians, he tells us that all my sin has been nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. And the hymn writer says, it is well with my soul. But with that abundance of blessing, it is so easy to become presumptuous. It is so easy to presume upon the grace of God. And so as sheep, we need to constantly feed in the pastures that our shepherd provides and constantly remind ourselves of that grace in which we stand. Constantly remind ourselves that it is his righteousness that we have, not our own. Constantly remind ourselves that we are right before God because of the Lord Jesus, not because of anything we have done. And constantly remind ourselves that we are to transform our thinking, to conform it to the thinking of our shepherd. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, David says. I shall not want. Do you know that shepherd? Have you come to the place where you acknowledge him? To the point where you recognize that there is no other shepherd. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. That he is the way to bring us back to God. He is the way to make us God's children. And as we stand in him, our shepherd, we are made sons and daughters of God, the sheep of his pasture, the sheep of his fold. Oh, may God open your minds and bring you to that place this morning where you can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the psalm. We thank you for its truth. And Father, we've only dipped our toe in the edge of the pool of truth this morning. But we just ask that truth would be enough to lead us into deeper truth. That it would be enough to lead us into mulling over in our minds again and again the things that we have heard. May lead us to the place where with David we may say with great pride, the Lord is my shepherd. May lead us to the place with great humility where we will bow the knee to him and follow him wherever he leads. to listen to his words, to listen to his truth, and to take it to heart and believe. Because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.